Bibles this morning. We're going to be looking at the book of Colossians, chapter 2. Title of this morning's message is What a Savior. Let's say this together. What a Savior. You know, I was thinking when Jesus came in John chapter 10, verse 10, he said, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it abundantly. It's a great statement, amen? To know that God came to give you and I abundant life. And I want to talk about that today. But the abundant life Jesus offers is only possible as we recognize what our Savior did on the cross. Would you all agree? Would you all agree with that? I hope you do. I know many of you do. It's actually the cross that's the power of God to redeem us from our sin and deliver us from what we used to be in our past. And I believe that God uses that. And as the butterfly, we struggle. But in that, we find life. And this morning, I want to talk about the cross and the implications of the cross. And I'd like to ask maybe that as you, if you, when you see a cross, like, what do you think? Like, you ever go by a church and you look up and there's a cross? Like, what comes to your mind when you see a cross? Or even today, we have a cross in the window, right? We got a cross over here. Like, when you see the cross, like, what do you think about when you see the cross?
Freedom.
New life. Great.
Redemption.
Awesome. You know, I think about, even sometimes, you ever see people wearing crosses? You know, I guess now we even tattoo them on people's body, right? But when you see that cross, it's so important to not just to look at it, but to really understand really what that cross means. I really believe many people today really only have a fraction of understanding about what God did when he sent his son and died on the cross. Would you not all agree? I think people have very little understanding. They just see a cross and it looks nice, but I don't believe they really understand what it means. And so today, I really want to talk with you about that, because the cross of Christ and what he does on the cross is absolutely essential in every person's life. Every person's life. And so this morning, we're going to be seeing that. And Paul in Colossians is actually going to address this. Colossians, we call it the book of Colossians. It was actually a city where Paul planted a church. And as he planted that church in Colossae, he spoke to them about the importance of the cross and really what it meant. And so today I really want to read this, and maybe you have some understanding of the cross. My hope for you today is your understanding of the cross gets deeper and deeper and deeper. How many of you would say the cross to you is getting deeper and deeper? Like, you're learning more about the cross all the time. Yeah, good. Some of you. That's good. The cross needs to get deeper and deeper in our life. So let's open up and let's see what Paul actually teaches about the cross and its significance. So let's open up to Colossians chapter 2, and we're going to be reading Colossians 2. And we're going to be starting in verse 9, and we're going to be reading 9 through 15. You all have that? New Testament, Colossians chapter 2. Starting with verse 9. You all have that? So, for in Christ, all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form. So, when Christ came, who was he? He was God. And when he came, he was in the form of God, but he had every quality that his Father had. He was fully divine. You understand that? And then he says, in the fullness of Christ, in his godness, in his divinity. Then he says this, you have been given fullness in Christ. Let's say that together. You have been given fullness in Christ. Isn't that awesome? Knowing who he is, but then he goes from this is who he is, but you, because you know who he is, you have what? You have been given fullness in Christ. It's an awesome statement. And Christ is the head over every authority and every power. And in him, you were also circumcised in the putting off of your sinful nature. How many have put off your sinful nature? Put it off. Why do you put off? Because you know what Christ has done. He says you put off that sinful nature, not with a circumcision done by the hands of man, but with a circumcision that is done by Christ. It is the work of Christ that gets you out of any bondage in your life. Amen? Amen? It is not you. It is Christ. Now, he says, having been buried with him in baptism, you are raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised Jesus Christ from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your own sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. Amen? God made you alive in Christ. He forgave you of what? All of your sins.
Amen.
Amen? Every single sin you've ever committed, you will never pay for. Amen? He forgave you and he canceled the written code with all of its regulation that was against you and that stood opposed to you. He took it away. He actually what? Nails it to the cross. Is that awesome? He nails your sin to the cross. And I love this. The cross, so powerful. Having disarmed the powers and the authorities. How many know there are wicked powers and authority over people, over this world? What does God do on the cross? He disarms the whole thing. Woo! That is amazing. He disarms all powers and all authorities. He makes a public spectacle of them. And on the cross, he triumphs over everything. Is that not awesome or what? This is the word of the Lord. I don't know about you, but when I read this, I go like, whoa, I really need to understand this. I don't fully get it all the time. And so today, I've been really meditating on really all of this, and I hope for you that you will too, really get a deeper understanding, really, of really what happened when Christ died on the cross. It was very, very powerful. And the first thing I want to say is, the message of the cross is that before we met Christ, you were dead. You were dead in your trespasses. Amen? So guess what? You were all what? You were all dead. So was I. Paul said that when you were dead in your sin. How many can remember before you accepted Christ, like what your life was like? How many remember that? What your life was like before you accepted Christ? You remember how wicked you were? You remember how wicked you were? How bad you were? How empty you were? How many remember how empty you were? You're empty. You're void. You're dead, right? You're dead. You're not alive. You're dead. And Paul says, you know, we were all dead. Before we accepted Christ, we were totally helpless. We were actually violators of God's law. We were trapped in our sin, right? How many know you were trapped? You were trapped in your sin. You had no way out, and you were totally empty. Wow. And we were basically controlled by our flesh. How many remember days when your flesh controlled you? Like you live completely for yourself. You were selfish. You did life your own way. You live primarily for yourself. And the whole world and all of its philosophy you embraced. And you thought, this is the right way to live. I remember those days. Oh my goodness. Amen. And at that time, you were what? You're dead. Now, chances are you were like me. You never told anyone you're dead. You actually told people you were alive. But in reality, you were dead. I call this the big charade. How many of you have been through this yourself? The big charade. Like, for me, as a basketball player and as an athlete and everything, when people used to come to me and they say, well, how you doing? I used to always say what? Great. I'm good. I play basketball. People know my name. You know, I'm a great guy. I have life. I've got hope. I mean, life's really all about me. Right? And that's called the what? The great charade. Amen. Why? Because on the outside, I remember those days, on the outside you're looking good. Life seems all together for you. It's a great pretend. You pretend like you're doing good. But on the inside, you are what? You are totally dead. You have no life. You are empty. I used to know it. How many of you remember the days when you knew you were empty? Like you'd live life every day and you got up and people talked with you and you always said you were good, but inside you knew. How many of you remember knowing how empty you really were? It's just driving me nuts. I was so empty. But boy, when I got around my friends, I was the life of the party. Truth of the matter is what? I'm dead. I am spiritually dead. There is nothing in me that has any kind of life. Do you remember those days? Boy, the truth of that took me a long time. And today I look back on my life and I remember how empty I was. I remember how void I was. I remember I had no life inside of me. Although I told everybody I did. Boy, what a big lie, huh? But he says that. He says we were dead. And you were dead and I was dead. The great charade. Remember that, Donna? Donna went through a great charade, didn't you, Donna? Donna, 6 years ago today. She just went through her charade. 6 years ago she got saved. To the day, today, right, Donna? Today's the day of her salvation, 6 years ago. So all of that time before she came to know Christ, she was what? She was dead. She was empty. Did you know it, Donna? Did you know you were empty? At least Donna has enough nerve to say, yes, Pastor, I knew how desperate I was. I know how empty I am. It's good to come to the truth. Amen? Stop pretending you have life. You do not have life. You are dead. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. So important to understand that. We must understand that. But the good news, and I love this. He said in verse 13, he says, let's look at verse 13, right? Colossians 2:13. He said, when you were dead in your sin, then what? In the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive. Amen? God, who made you alive? Who made you alive? God made you alive. Or do you think you made yourself alive? How many think I made myself alive? Can you make yourself alive? How could a dead man make himself alive? A dead man cannot make himself alive. But how many know people think that today? I made myself alive. There is no way you can make yourself alive. Yet the world tries, correct? Everybody tries to get alive. Listen, you're dead. Stop pretending. There's no way out for you. You are a dead man. You have no life at all. You might want to pretend and you might tell people you're doing good. But that'll never hold up. Amen? Amen? Really what he's saying here is there has to be a intervention. Amen? And who's going to do the intervention according to the word of God? God intervenes. Amen? It's a divine intervention. Amen? I remember the day God divinely intervened in my life. Boy, was that a tough one. I sometimes think I was pretty hard, selfish, living for myself. I was pretty rough to get to the truth, you know? How many of you were the same way? Like you were hard. Like you were living for yourself. You were just living primarily for yourself. That was me. I mean, my life was so selfish. I mean, it was wickedness, really. But guess what? There was a what? An intervention. Guess what I needed? An intervention. Guess what you needed? An intervention. And who's doing the intervening? God. Is that awesome? I was watching this video not too long ago. It was a series on TV. I guess it was a year ago. It didn't last very long. It was called The Intervention. Did anyone see The Intervention? How many saw the series The Intervention? One. Okay. You're the only one who saw it? Anyone else see it? Two. Okay. Three. Okay. So really let me describe what happens in The Intervention. People are in trouble. They're addicted to drugs. They're living for the world. They're, I don't know, some of them were hoarding stuff and grabbing on everything in the world, right? So they have all these stories about all these people. But there's a group of other people and they're friends and family. And the friends and family see that this person is in trouble. They actually see they're destroying their life. Now this person doesn't want to do anything about it. The person who needs the intervention. And so what does the family do? The family gets together and says, this person who we love is destroying their life. We see their destruction. If they keep going like this, they will be destroyed. So they get the whole family together, right? Right? They get the whole family together, all the friends, and they confront the person. And they say to them, your life is miserable. Your life is chaos. Your life is a mess. You're messing up your life. We can see this is going down a path. You have no control anymore. We are telling you, you will stop. That is called a what? An intervention. How many of you have ever been a part of an intervention where someone called you and said, we see so-and-so going this way. Will you join any intervention? You said yes. Okay, some of you have. Okay, I encourage you to do it. Really important to do this in life. When you see somebody, amen, who is destroying their life and they will not stop, have enough love for them to confront them. You just go to them and you say what? You are destroying your life. Guess what? They already know they are anyways, right? But I'll tell you what, it is so impactful when people who love them come and see how they're destroying their life and just say, you know what? I see you're destroying your life. We want you to stop. We want you to stop. We will help you stop. That is called a what? An intervention. And how many of you know that exactly happened to you? If you're a Christian. What happened to you? You had an intervention. It is called a divine intervention. Why? Because God sees who you were. God saw what a mess I was. Amen? God sees it. He says you're dead. And there's no way you're getting out. I can't get myself out. You can't get yourself out. Stop believing a lie. You know people who are in trouble, what do they think? I'll get myself out. That's what they believe, right? And then you say to them, well, you're still in it. Why aren't you out? Guess what? They can't get out. You all know that, right? Don't believe a lie. There is no way out for them. They can lie to you. They can come to you and say, I'm getting out. I will get out. I want to get out. And you say, well, how? They say what? I'm going to get out myself. That is a lie. There is no way out. Amen? Why? They're dead. Do you understand that? And guess what? So were you. So what did you need? A divine intervention. And this is what God says. He says, in the deadness as he sees them, right? He says, I'm going to intervene. Is that what he says here in verse 13? He said, they were dead, uncircumcised, they're living in their sinful nature. But God, God makes you alive. Woo! Aren't you glad? Man, I'm so glad God made me alive. Boy, if he left me the way I was, I'd be a total mess. I'm so glad for a divine intervention. Woo, are you?
Amen.
Man, it is awesome. Why? Colossians 1, look at verse 13. Go back to the chapter before. And I want to remind you, this is a total work of God. This cannot be done by your best friend or your spouse. It cannot be done by your children or your grandmother. The only one who can do this is Jesus Christ himself. What does he do? Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Notice what he does. You all have this? It says, for he has rescued us. He's rescued you from what? From the power or the dominion of darkness. And he takes you out of darkness and he brings you into his marvelous light. How could that ever happen? It is called a what? Intervention, a rescue. God sees you. So he's going to what? He's going to take you out of darkness. And he's going to bring you into light. He's going to take you out of the kingdom of Satan. And he's going to put you in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Do you understand that? When you look at the cross, that's what you should see. You should see divine intervention. It's more than a piece of jewelry. Amen? That cross says, no, I was once living that way. And by the grace of God. Amen? We sang that today. By the grace of God. And it is a total work of grace. You could not get yourself out. People say to me, oh, Pastor, I got myself out. You didn't get yourself out of anything. You're probably still in it. You are just deceived. Amen? He removes them out of darkness and brings them into what? Light. He rescues us. Is that awesome? Wow, God's intervention. It's so powerful. How many of you think you could save yourself? I know people think they can. Do you think you can actually save yourself? That's what the world tells you, right? You listen to the world, what's the world going to tell you? You can save yourself. I want to be clear with you. You can never save yourself. You know it too, right? Because you tried. And guess what? When you tried, you didn't get out, did you? No, you'll never get out. Because it has to be a divine intervention by the Son of God. Amen?
Amen.
And that Son of God is going to go to the cross, right? He's going to die on that cross for you. Tell me someone else who's willing to die for you. I'll tell you one thing, it's not Buddha. I'll tell you this world won't die for you. I'll tell you Muhammad never died for anybody. I'll tell you any world religion, no one's willing to die for you. Nobody. Get it clear. The only one who's going to die for you is Jesus Christ himself. He will go to the cross because he loves you unconditionally. He will pay the price for you. Nobody else will. And believe me, it is the only way out. And all of God's people said.
Amen.
Boy, what a wonderful truth. I was once hopeless, now I have hope. I was once in bondage, now I'm free. I was once dead and now I'm alive. Do you believe that? Man. Well, let me ask you something. If you believe all this, you say, Pastor, I look at the cross, I see God's intervention for me. Let me ask you something really serious. Do you really live like you're free? I mean, seriously. If you're here today, say, I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Christ. I understand the cross. Great. Do you live like you're free, or are you still in bondage? Are you still in bondage? Or are you really, really free? Are you still dead, or are you really, really alive? See, a lot of Christians say, oh, I understand the cross. Yeah, if you understand the cross, your whole life will change. Your whole life will change. You cannot live the same way any longer. You've been freed, then you should live like you're free. Unless you're not free and you're still in bondage. Be honest with yourself. If you're free and you know what he did, I say to you, stay free. But so many people today, they're really not free. They're still stuck in their bondage. I really encourage you. God came to set you free. You should not stay in the bondage you're in. He came to what? Free you of the bondage you're in. And he has all power. Correct? All power. He is the Son of God. He can do what? Anything. You might think, oh, I'm in drugs, I'm in bondage, I'll never get off that oxycodone, I'll never get through that pornography, I can't handle this. You're overwhelmed. I want to tell you something. God can bring you through. Why? He's the Son of God that has the power over every kingdom and over every dominion, and when he brings you out, you're going to be out.
Amen.
That is the truth. It is the truth. So good. Man, I think of my great pretend. I'm so glad I don't pretend. Don't you keep pretending either. Do not stay in your pretension. So he comes. But notice what he does. Let's go back to Colossians chapter 2. When he comes, he says in verse 13, he said that you were once dead in your sin, but now God has made you alive. Now you're not dead. Now you've got the life of God in you. Whoa, you're living every day like the life of God. God's dwelling in you, leading you, guiding you. You got the life of God. All of life has changed at this point. Amen? Why? What does he say there in verse 13? He has forgiven you. What? Read it. I want you all to get this. Because some of you might be mistaken. He has forgiven you what? All of your sins. How many sins has God forgiven you of? Honestly. How many of you believe every single sin you've ever committed, he paid for? Every one of them. Now, I'm not saying, not 90, I'm not asking you 90% or 95% or 70 if you think you're that good. I'm asking you, does your life line up with the Word of God? When he died, according to this Word, how many of your sins were taken care of? Every single one of them. Make no mistake about it. How many Christians are struggling and they struggle, they say, oh, God freed me, but then there's this one sin, right? I don't know if God will ever forgive me. You're believing a lie. Did God forgive you? What did he forgive you of? Every single sin. How many of you are still living in guilt? You look back at your life. You're guilty. You're ashamed. You messed up your life. How many of you are still living like that? Oh, good. None of you? Great. One of you. All right. Only one person in the church. Good. The rest of you are free. Correct? One, at least one is honest enough to say, Pastor, I'm honest. I can't get over the one. Thank you for being so honest. I mean, really. Most of us would sit here and pretend we're all good. Right? At least she's got enough nerve to say, no, Pastor, I'm struggling. Well, I want to tell you something. And know this. Underline that scripture. God has forgiven you what? Every single sin in your life. You say, God, it's all been taken care of. You grab that truth. And any Christian who doesn't is in trouble because they're not living free. How many of you know if she keeps believing this, guess what? She's going to be in turmoil every single day of her life. Why? Because she believes that one sin has not been taken care of. She will be in turmoil for the rest of her life. You understand that about her? Yeah, get it. So will you. But what does Christ say when he dies? I will forgive what? All of your sin. Is that not amazing? When you look at the cross, you go, Lord, you took care of that. I can live now. Every sin has been, unless you want to live with you. Unless some of you want to live with your sin, you want to keep living with it? It'll destroy you. You'll be down. You'll be discouraged. Your life will be a mess. You're wondering why things don't come together for you. You don't understand the cross. What's been forgiven according to this? Every sin you've ever committed. Amen? Amen? Now notice what he says here. He says that everything has been done, right? And I love this. He forgave you of all your sins. Look at verse 14. Having what? Read this. Get this, because you got to get this. Every sin is forgiven. He says what? Verse 14. Having canceled. What did he cancel? The written code. With all of its regulations that war against you, that stood opposed to you. Amen? What did he do? He canceled it. Do you understand what they would, in back 2,000 years ago, do you understand what they would do with a person? When that person committed the crime, how many of you know it's pretty serious when you got to go to the cross? Right? And you know what they would do with that person when he went to the cross? Anyone know what he does? What they would do? They would take all the sins and all the crimes the man had committed. Yeah. And actually what they would do, they would crucify the man. And they would take all the things that he had done and they'd put him on the cross. Because the state wanted to be sure that when they were killing somebody, everybody knew why they were killing him. They're saying, this is a wicked man. Here's all of his sins. You want to know why he's crucified? Here's all of his sins. And they listed them. Can you see yourself on the cross? You were on that cross. Because every sin you committed, all your stuff would have been up there. Every sin you've ever committed. Right? But what does Jesus do? Tell me what Jesus does according to this. He cancels them, and then what? Give me the verse he said. Not only does he cancel them, he does what? Read your Bible. Who says it? Verse 14. Tell me what he does. They're what? Who says it? Mary? They're what, Mary? They're nailed to the cross. Do you understand? Nailed to the cross. So here's what happened. So they take... Whose sin is he being nailed for? He's the Son of God. He has committed what? No sin. Whose sin is he going to the cross with? Yours. Imagine what a weight that is. You imagine how many the weight that was on Christ at that moment when every sin you've committed in the past, today, and even tomorrow was upon him and he was carrying your sin? He had no guilt. He was carrying your sin. How many of you understand that? That was your sin. He didn't do anything. How heavy would your sin have been? How many sins do you have? How heavy are those sins? He carried every single one of them. And when he carried them, what did he do? What does the Bible say? Nail them to the cross. So the punishment you deserve and the punishment I deserve for all the sin, every mistake, every person I hurt, everything, it's what? Jesus said it's going to be what? Nailed to the cross. Your sin has been nailed to the cross. Never to be brought up to you again. Never. God will never remind you of your sin. Satan will. Right? Satan loves to remind you. Nate, you remember what you did 5 years ago? Do you remember what you did 15 years ago? I just want to remind you of your sinfulness. I want to remind you that's not God. That is an enemy you have to discourage you. But imagine if you said, no, Satan, my sin has been nailed to the cross. My debt has been canceled. There is nothing you have against me. I am totally free. Amen. How many of you live like this? Or you say, no, I don't. You got to live like this. This is not just a nice book. Do you live like this? Or how many of you say, oh, I'm condemned. Life's not worthwhile. I don't know what I'm going to do with my life. Do you really understand the cross? Do you understand what Jesus Christ did when he nailed your sin to the cross? And now says, you're free. Amen? I had a lady one day who came to me and she was like, she was in the convalescent home and I went to see her. And she said, you're a pastor? I said, yes. She said, can I see you for a minute? I said, yes. So she comes over to me. She said, I'm so distraught. I said, really? What's wrong? She said, well, when I was a little girl, I accepted Christ in my life. And she said, but since that day, I've walked away from God. I failed God. I really do not live for God. I made a commitment, but I've not done any of it. She said to me, do you think I'm going to heaven? Wow, what a heavy question to lay on a pastor. It's a heavy question. It really is. So I put it back on her because I didn't really know the answer. How did I put it back on her? I said, lady, I just want to ask you one question. With all your sin, and you're dying, I don't know how much of your element, but all your sin. So when you die, and you see your Savior, and your Savior says to you, why should I let you into heaven, lady? I said, tell me what you're going to say. So she paused for a moment, and she looked at me. She said, well, I guess the only thing I could say is, by the grace of God and by the power of his blood on the cross, all my sins are taken care of. I looked at her, and I said, amen, lady. We know where you're going. It's true. Right? When you get there, you just say what? The blood of Jesus Christ. He canceled every sin I have. God sent Jesus to die on the cross so that when I die, I might have life. And not just when you get in heaven. He wants you to have life now. See, if you understand this, let me know your whole life's going to change. I don't mean a part of your life. I mean all of your life. Some people get Christianity, so I'll get a little Christianity. There's no little. Either you have it or you don't. And if you have it, what's it going to do? It's going to change what? Your whole life. Some people want a little Christianity. I have a little bit on Sunday when I come. You're so lost. You're believing a lie. Christ came that you might have life. And you might have it abundantly. How will you have it abundantly? You understand that cross. Amen. And no matter what you go through in life, you cling to the cross of Jesus Christ. Listen, guys. You and I have an amazing God. An amazing God. He loves us unconditionally. He has enough grace for us. He holds back the powers and the authorities of sin over your life so you don't walk that way. Do you understand what an amazing, powerful, awesome God we have? Live for him. Amen? Live for him. It is the best way any of us could ever live. Amen? Wow. Did y'all understand all that? It's awesome, isn't it? Awesome. Awesome. Blows me away. In closing this morning, our kids are here. And they have a song they like to do. And the name of the song, and the words will be up, is it's called What a Savior.